Well, good morning, everyone. My name is Dave Jones. I work for River Church full-time. I'm part of the central leadership team. And I oversee BASE, which is the youth group in River Church. And I'm really loved up right now on the presence of Jesus. Shakaraba sadadaba. Everyone just put out your hands and just be like, Lord, throughout this time, minister to me. Lord, I thank you for your love. I thank you that you love me. Whoa. I welcome you, Holy Spirit. I make a choice right now that I open my ears. I put my L plates on. I want to leave here changed. I want to have an encounter with my King. I don't want to have wasted my Sunday morning with mindless religion. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, I just want to welcome you. I just want to say that there is none like you. You are absolutely wonderful, Holy Spirit, and we bless you. Holy Ghost, we love you. There is none like you. You're not some kind of weird, crazy force. You were there in the beginning of creation, hovering over the waters. It was you who put the solar system in place. It was you who, when the Father said, let there be light, you made the sun. You made the stars, Holy Ghost. It was you who was breathed into Adam's nostrils. Shaka. It was you who caused the walls of Jericho to fall down when the army of worshippers walked around it. It was you who parted the Red Sea. It was you who directed that stone in midair into Goliath's head. It was you who rested upon Jesus. It was you who in Acts 2 was poured out. You were poured out. And you went, you moved from being this a person, a power that came on specific people and specific times and events. And you moved from that, you shifted to someone who was going to be poured out in all flesh. It is you who draw us to the Father. It is you, Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, who lives within us. And you give us a new nature so that our sin nature is dead and we have a foundation of goodness within us, that we long for good things. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you. We say we love you. I just want to thank you, Holy Spirit, for the times that we're living in. The prophets of old longed to look into our day. Those who wrote the scriptures, they longed to look into our day. Did you know that right now there are more Christians, there are more people who declare that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior on the planet than right now, than in the whole of human history put together? That means there are more Christians on the planet than there are in heaven. We're living in the most exciting time in the whole of human history. Holy Spirit, I just want to thank you for what you're doing in the nations. You are being poured out, and you're looking for a people who want to just let you have your way. Thank you that you want to outpour yourself on this nation in Slough. And Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, we just want to partner with you. We want you to feel at home in this place. We don't want to box you in. We never ever want to say something isn't you because of the packaging it comes in. You can do things however you want, Holy Ghost. Give us eyes to see. Give us eyes to see what you're doing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Has anyone been watching Big Brother? I'm sure that actually not that many of you have. Judging by, you know, the standard kind of audience of Big Brother. My friends on Big Brother, this guy called Dave, Dave Vaughan, and it's really cool because yesterday night I watched him as he prophesied over a girl and the nation watched. You know, millions of people watched as he prophesied over her. And he's just like, loads of people have died in her family. And he talked about God restoring blessing. And she changed her name from, I don't know what her previous name, to Sunshine. And he was talking to her about how in the Bible, when God changed people's names, it caused them to shine. And it was like there was a shift. And she was just crying her eyes out. And then he went and gave her a hug. And it was like the nation watched it. It was so cool. Me and Chloe, my wife, were just in the lounge. And Chloe was crying. And I was like, yes, come on. So that was cool. You know, God's raising up prophets in these days. I just want to do something quickly. I just really felt like when I was praying just before the meeting, that God just really wanted to minister firstly to people's fear. It's actually a command not to fear. You know, God says, do not fear, so many times throughout Scripture. He is love, and the Scripture says perfect love casts out fear. We are called to be a violent, spiritually violent, army, radical followers of Jesus who take the kingdom by force. A fearless troop that spoke about in Joel. And so it's kind of not right for us to be fearful, because also we're sons and daughters of the King, and God's our Father, and He's adopted us. We're seated in the heavenly places. We're co-heirs with Christ. You know, but when we have a wrong mindset, it's so easy to get fearful. And so what I thought we should do is if anyone's like fearful about anything, I just want you like just to bow your head now, basically. And I just want to like just pray into that, if that's right. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for the imagination, that you give us an imagination for your purposes. And right now, everyone, what I want you to do is I want you to imagine Jesus. Just imagine what he looks like. You know, where is he? Is he in front of you? Is he behind you? Is he next to you? And right now, I just, in your imagination, I want you to write down on a bit of paper in your mind what that fear is. And then I want you to give it to Jesus. And now what does Jesus do with that bit of paper? And now just in your mind, you say, is there anything else you want to give me or show me, Jesus? Is there anything else you want to say to me, Jesus? And now just thank him. Tell him you love him. Amen. If you want to stay in your encounter, then just feel free just to, you know, stay there. But if you want to come back, that'd be cool as well. Put your hand up if you just felt like you just had an encounter with the Lord. That's cool, hey? That was just so easy. If you didn't have an encounter with the Lord, don't be discouraged. You know, when I regularly like kind of just press in, and when I don't like have an encounter, or don't feel any breakthrough, I get like Jacob. That's my posture. Lord, I'm going to wrestle you until I get my blessing. Lord, I'm hungry, and I'm not leaving here until I've had a breakthrough. You know, I just want to encourage you for that to be your attitude, just in your Christian walk. You know, if you see other people getting breakthrough here, there, and everywhere, and you're still there, I'd say go over to them and ask them, get them to pray with you. You know, because that takes a bit of humbling in your heart, but humbling is good, because when you humble yourself, you get low, and water always flows downhill. Because God takes down the proud, but he exalts the humble. I just want to say that this morning I'm going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, because I just felt like to do that, basically. A lot of people think the Holy Spirit's kind of this weird force, and it's sometimes confusing, you know, in churches like, especially like River Church, where we're going, you know, for revival and revival culture and all that entails. It gets messy, you know, people start doing weird stuff, and it's like people are manifesting over here, and it's like, what does that mean? You know, people are doing all this kind of stuff. And I just want to just almost kind of speak into it humbly, just from my experience. I'm 24. So I'm not, you know, wise by kind of like years standards, but I do feel like I have a certain measure of breakthrough in my relationship with the Holy Spirit. And so I just kind of want to just share a bit of like what I've learned, really. And I kind of want to feel like I just want to say that I'm talking this way as opposed to this way, if you know what I mean. Like, we're in this together. We're just on a journey. And so just please take what I deliver as, you know, this is my opinion. You know, you may disagree, but I'm just trying. We're just trying to be family, you know. So, also, I just want to say another thing before we start. This is something that's really kind of impressed on my heart at the moment, and just for the whole church, is that it is unnatural to be a follower of Jesus Christ and to live without passion for God and the things of God. If the Holy Spirit is within you, and you call yourself a Christian, there is something that needs to be changed if you've lost your passion. We are built for passion. The only appropriate response to the cross of Jesus Christ is passion. Because he is completely passionate about us. And so losing your passion can come through a whole different, you know, many, many different ways. You know, disappointments, you know, just lack of breakthrough, just like you're feeling like God's miles away, confusion. But I'd say the primary way to lose your passion is by coming out from under the love of God. When in my life I can feel that I'm not passionate, you know, I've lost something, and usually I can tell it by how easy I can laugh or cry. So if I'm in a place where just like, I just see things, I watch stuff on TV, or I hear like the voice of the Lord say something to me, or I see people getting ministered to, and I'm easily led to tears, it just moves me, or that I'm easily led to laughter, I know I'm in a passionate place, I know my heart's in a passionate place. If I kind of get to this place where nothing really kind of shifts me either way, I'm just kind of in this place of mediocrity, I know something needs to change, and that's my passion. And one of the main ways in which you change that is by receiving the love of God. It's when you get into that place where you hear the creator of the cosmos say to you, my boy, I love you so much. I've got amazing plans for your life. With me, you can do greater things than Jesus did. You're my warrior. And he says to you, girls, you're my princess. You are gorgeous. You're worth fighting for. You're worth fighting for so much that I died on the cross for you. That's how much I love you, my princess. And when you let those words, you know, they just come into you, you can't help but just be passionate for God and the things of God. Because it gives your life purpose. It gives your life meaning. You know, you begin to dream again. Your dreams come into you, and you're like, man, I want to change the world. I want to change my street. I want to change my workplace, because God's with me. I had this time the other day when I just felt like the Lord just say, it's time to dream again, my boy. So I just sat down with the Lord and got this A4 bit of paper out and just wrote down my dreams. I just put them in my Bible. Shall I read my dreams out? Yeah. I didn't even think I was going to do this morning. Here are my dreams. Number one, to be considered by God as his friend. For there to be healing ministries in the hospitals throughout the nation, to have people in the schools who are chaplains and seeing revival in the schools, to see thousands of people through my life come to know Christ and be discipled, to have a music studio where young people can make amazing worship music, to raise up and release the creatives, an army of artisans, prophets, and healing revivalists, to see the nation burn with a passion for Jesus, to see healing ministry restored to the church in the UK, for Chloe, that's my wife, to walk into all she can be, to be financially free, to do whatever and go wherever God or I want, to have children, to have a house with a sports and a party garden, to finish well, to be transported, to raise the dead, to open blind eyes, and to pull someone out of a wheelchair. I want to be friends with the Prime Minister, to see this fatherless generation be fathered again, to find an outlet for my creativity, and to walk into the prophetic words spoken over my life. Those are my dreams, people. And I felt like the Lord say, I want you to dream big, dream stupidly big. So some of those are like accomplishable in my lifetime. Some of them are not accomplishable. But the key to dreaming big is to recognize that it's just, sometimes it's not all about you. And actually recognizing that your life can provide an inheritance for those who are coming after you to then walk in. Moses never walked into the promised land, but Joshua did, and Joshua would have never got there without Moses. I'm dreaming multi-generational dreams. Shakabumba! All right, let's go. Is everyone doing well? Okay. Thank you, by the way. You've all been very encouraging. Everyone's like, yeah, good words and stuff. Some places I go and I speak and people are like, I'm like, can someone just please say amen if I say something good? And then maybe one person will be like, We're so English. Thank you for England, God. We bless this nation. Bless our goalie, Lord. We speak protection from all those negative words spoken by millions in the nation over him. For those of you who don't know, the England goalkeeper yesterday let in an atrocious goal. And even Christians who I were with were going, you're an idiot! I was like, bless him, God. Okay. I just want to do one more thing before I get going. When I was praying earlier as well, I kind of went into this vision. And I was just kind of above the school, and I just saw clouds. And then I was kind of reminded of how when Elijah, he prayed for rain, it rained. And how I was, one of the verses I was going to bring out this morning were like Hosea 6 and Amos 9, which talks about there being outpourings of spiritual rain, of God's rain, and the latter rains exceeding the former rains. And that's all about there being an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I just felt like that we just kind of almost need to raise like a fresh cry, because God responds to the cries of his people. He outpours, but it's not necessarily a sovereign thing where he just does it like, you know, off his own back. He does it in participation with us. It's the whole, that's the way he's done things since the dawn of time. He's always worked in participation with mankind because he's relational. So when we pray, things change. So what I felt like we should pray, because I saw this cloud, I felt like the Lord just praying for just a fresh rain, spring rain, a fresh outpouring. So I'm just going to do that. And if you'd like to agree with what I say, just like clap, shout, you know, say amen, you know, that kind of thing. Okay, cool. Father God, I just want to thank you that you want to pour yourself out afresh over this congregation. That you want to pour yourself out with fresh spring rain, a fresh outpouring of your Holy Spirit that brings life, that brings freedom, that brings goodness wherever you go. You want to bring out so much, you want to pour down so much that it overflows the banks, that it overflows the banks of Slough River Church, and that it pours into the streets, that it pours into people's workplaces. So we speak to the clouds, we speak to the heavenlies, and we say, rain down, rain down, Rain down. We want to see a fresh outpouring, God. We say, rain down. Rain, Holy Spirit. Open up the heavens. We want to see an open heaven where there is no breakthrough. Let us see breakthrough, God. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Some of you will not have a clue what's going on. That's fine. Just let, like, your spirits be spoken to and your brains will catch up. That's how it works, you know? It's like when you first become a Christian, you don't have a clue what you're agreeing to. It's like, how the heck does all this Jesus stuff work? But it makes sense in your heart, your kind of spirit understands, and then later your brain catches up, you know? That happens all the way through your Christian walk, by the way. So, you know, as soon as you get to like, oh yeah, I know it all, it's like you're in a dangerous place there because you're in a place where you think like God can't teach you. So yeah, Lord, let me never think that. Okay, Holy Spirit. Father, I just repent for any times when my little heart cup has been upside down or on the side. Or when I think I've had enough. God's the God of too good to be true. He's the God of way over the top blessing. He's the God of abundance. He's the God of there's more than enough. And so it's good to be gluttons for God. You know, it's good to just... I sometimes, I'm just like with some friends who I like to just have Holy Spirit at times. And I'm just going to go, I'm just going to see, like, how drunk I can get in the Holy Spirit. I want to see how blessed I can get, you know. And just, like, just keep going until it's like, I want to be blessed more than I've ever been blessed before. And you just keep going. Some of you, again, won't understand what I'm saying. That's fine. Just hang in there with me. The second illustration I want to give is that the Holy Spirit in Scripture is referred to as a dove. And Bill Johnson said this amazing thing, which is that if a dove came and landed on your shoulder and you wanted to keep it on your shoulder, dove lands on my shoulder, you would take every step with a dove in mind. If the dove said, hey, I want to go over there, you'd go over there. Does that make sense? When a dove lands on your shoulder, you take every step with the dove in mind. And I'd say, I want to go one step further with that illustration, which is that if I want a dove to land on my shoulder, I will create an environment which welcomes the dove, which a dove wants to be in. So in the natural, that would be a nice little nest, you know, maybe some like fluff or something, like comfiness. But in the spiritual, that's an attitude of thankfulness, being faithful in the small things, having a heart of worship, heart of hunger for the Lord, holiness, a stance of aggressive repentance, so that when you mess up, you don't ignore God for ages and think maybe if I like wait a week or so, then I can get back into the presence of God, back into right standing with God. Aggressive repentance is whereby you realize you've done something which has grieved the Holy Spirit, and it's like, Father, I recognize that, I repent of that, and I get back on the horse. No! Because, in Corinthians, if you want the Bible verse, it's 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, we're his temple. Paul says, we are temples of the Holy Spirit. So if we want to be a people who hosts an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which we do, because there is no other solution for our land, there is no other solution for the healing of our broken society other than an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which does a work in us, which then enables us to go out, not like in the church, but into our workplaces, into our relationships, into all areas of society, you know, the arts, the media, government, business, education, inventions, healthcare. It enables the people of God to go into those places and shine like they've never shined before. and love the unlovely, create systems of justice and mercy, you know, in where they have influence to do that. That's how it works. Because we have a resource within us which most people don't have. So if we want to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, we all, as individuals and as a community, need to host the dove. Thank you. It is right. I just want to say, you lady, what's your name? Yeah. Mary. You are an amazing singer. I was singing, and I was like, is there an angel in the room? And I was like, this thing is an angel. And I looked around, and you were like, oh! I just want to say that God loves it when you sing. He has given you an amazing voice, and he loves it when you sing to him. So I just want to encourage you just to keep singing, just to use your voice just all the time, you know, sing, walking down the street, just use it, because he loves your voice. Okay. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 14. For those of you who are taking notes, it says that we're to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We're to be in communion with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not just a, like, this weird force. He's a person. He's a member of the Godhead, and he wants relationship with us. So I just want to say, when you pray to Holy Spirit, which you should do, don't kind of go, hey, Holy Spirit, I'm calling you an it. You know, Holy Spirit, would it come? Do you know that kind of thing? The Holy Spirit is a person. It has a personality, sorry. Scripture says we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Be in relationship with the Holy Spirit, because it's the Holy Spirit who draws us into relationship with the Father and Jesus. And I would go so far to say that you cannot love Jesus with all your heart without loving the Holy Spirit. That's impossible. Because they're Trinity. Okay. I just want to say my story of basically my journey in encountering the Holy Spirit. 3 years ago, I was totally going for God. I was in my really early 20s. You know, I thought kind of like I knew it all. Every 20-year-old guy does, really. It's the height of arrogance in those years. But I kind of like, I was really going for God. I was a person who would always be kind of down the front and happy to like dance around when no one was dancing around in worship. I was really passionate about God. But I'd go to meetings and people would be like, whoa, what's going on here? Like, whoa, shabba, dabba, dabba, and all this stuff. And I was like, I could pray in tongues. I've prayed in tongues since I was a child. But when people would then come and pray for me, I'd be like, okay, what's going on right now? Is God moving me? I'm leaning back. Is this the Holy Spirit or is it me? Am I just losing my balance? And like, when people would come and pray for me, it would almost kind of put me off encountering God because my mind was working overtime to try and figure out whether or not like this was Holy Spirit or not. I then went over to Bethel Church when everyone, like their Supernatural School of Ministry students were kind of, they came and prayed for us. And every other person was like, whoa, shabba! And like, going, shush, and like, boom, boom, boom. Like, and I was just walking around going, what the hell is going on? Like, this is like, it's like a loony bin or something. And, but I was recognizing that God was on the move because people prophesied over me words that were so accurate and that just brought me to tears. And God ministered to my heart in a way that he'd never ministered to me before. And I spent like 2 days just crying out, my eyes out, and just being like completely set on fire again for God. And at the time, there was 300 miracles happening a week there. You know? And it was like, people were passionate about the Bible. They were really loving. And I was like, I need to pay attention to what's going on, you know? So I just kind of got like people to pray for me, and I was just honest with the Lord. I just kind of went into my little corner, and I was like, God, you know what? I'm going to love you if I never manifest in my whole life. I'm going to still go for you if I never manifest. But that looks really cool. It looks really fun when people are like freaking out. Like, I want to do that, God. And then I kind of got a revelation of the fact that God rarely completely possesses someone and gives them just completely takes over their body. And I kind of began to realize that a lot of things which are supernatural, which you don't understand because you've never done them before, you think that kind of God takes over, but he doesn't. So, for instance, if you can't speak in tongues and you see people speaking in tongues, you don't understand how it works. Does God just take over their mouth and they go, shakaraba sundarabiada, and they don't know what they're, you know. But that when you do speak in tongues, you understand that actually you do it by faith. And so you realize that I can speak in tongues. I choose to by faith. I recognize that I have the gift of a heavenly language. So now I'm just going to do it, even though it doesn't make sense in my head, but it makes sense in my spirit. Does that make sense? God doesn't take over. You choose to do it. So at the end, if you don't speak in tongues, I want to have a session where we'll just pray for people to speak in tongues. And you just go for it. It's pretty easy, to be honest. I began to realize that I started prophesying over people, and I'd see a picture in my head, which I thought was my own imagination, and I'd share it to them, and they'd be like, wow, that is so relevant. I don't know how you know that. That was like, you know, bang on, that's really helpful, that's so from God. I was like, was that God? I just felt like my imagination. And I began to realize that the separation between like the supernatural and the natural was surprisingly not separated and actually surprisingly close. And so therefore the things which I thought were crazy, like manifesting and people being completely off their heads and drunk, was kind of connected to the simplicity of speaking in tongues and prophesying and things like that. So then what happened was, I was just there, and I was getting prayed for, and I just felt like to move my head. This was later on in the week. I just felt like to move my head, because I wanted to move my head. So I was getting prayed for, and I just went, like that. And then I was like, I just kept moving my head for a while. So then I was like, it felt good. And then as I like kind of moved myself, like the presence would kind of increase. But it was me moving myself. It was never God taking over. But then as I did that, it kind of took over like a bit more. And then I felt like, oh, I want to bend my knees. So I was like, like that. And it just kind of felt good as someone was praying for me. In my head, it didn't make sense. But as I did that, it's kind of, I felt like more was happening. And then over a period of months, like, you know, manifestations by themselves are nothing really. And if you don't manifest, and if you never manifest, don't even worry, because the reality is God judges, the foundation to his judgment is by the heart, not by outward appearance. So that's kind of like our foundation, okay? But I then kind of like, over a period of months, I was hungry. Now, I started this early morning prayer meeting. We met from like 5 to 7 in the mornings, and we'd just pray and cry out to God. In the context of like just being, you know, reading my Bible loads and having a relationship with the Holy Spirit, I became a manifester from someone who like years before I'd never understood it. I'd just be prayed for, and people would come up to me and pray for me, and I'd just be like, whoa. I'd just be moving around loads. I mean, when people see me, they'd then be like, man, that guy's a crazy manifester. And it's like, you just become one of those people. But it was never like a supernatural thing. Does that make sense? It was a supernatural thing. Is this helpful in understanding the dynamics of how it works? I then became a drunk, basically. And because I recognized that actually the devil is not a creative being, okay? God created, his little theology 101, God created all things. All the devil ever does is twist God-given things. If that makes sense? So the Garden of Eden is the garden of pleasure. God wants his people to have a great time, to have a really, really fun time. Throughout the Bible, it talks about the joy of the Lord being your strength. He wants his people to be truly joyful. You know, it says in the Psalms, pleasures are in his right hand. But the reality is, we live in a culture whereby everyone's going and getting drunk and doing drugs. Not everyone, but a lot of young people and a lot of adults are just getting drunk, just getting off their faces. They're sleeping around, not because they're bad people, but because they want to have a good time. That's the reality of it. My friends, I've got so many friends, and they just do loads of drugs, and they sleep around, not because they're bad people, just because they want to have a good time. They want to have a high. And the devil is not a creative being. So the devil just twists God-given things. And so let's turn to Acts. Acts 2. Well, I've run out of time already. That's not good. So suddenly, this is Pentecost. Suddenly there came. So they're all praying. Suddenly there came from heaven a noise like a violent washing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributing on themselves as it rested on each one of them. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit. They were all filled. I prophesy that over you. You are all filled. We will all be filled. And they began speaking with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. Right. Peter then gets up. Let's move down to verse 13. But others were mocking them and saying, they are drunk with sweet wine. Why would they say they were drunk unless they were behaving drunk? Peter then gets up with the 11. He raises his voice and declares to them, men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel, and it shall be on the last days, says the Lord, that I will pour out my spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even in my bond slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy, and I will grant wonders in the skies above and signs on the earth below. That's cool, hey? So, number one, why would they say they were drunk unless they were acting drunk? Paul says in Ephesians 5, do not be drunk with wine, for it will ruin you, but instead be filled with the Holy Spirit. So he makes a comparison. There's this kind of twisted, this wrong kind of version of drunkenness, but there's also like a godly, just pleasure in the drunkenness. And so, I also want to give an impartation for drunkenness at the end. If you want to like be drunk in the Holy Spirit, and it comes through making a choice, right? So in the same way that I kind of like just learned to manifest, chose to manifest. I now believe that in heaven, it's just pure joy. It's pure ecstasy. It's pure bliss. When I come into the presence of God, like when I die, I will not be able to cope. I will just be like, whoa! It'll just be like God, you know, it's the creator of the universe. You cannot cope with that. And so I believe that my spirit is seated in the heavenlies, right? And then as so goes the heavens, earth follows. When heaven shifts, so does earth. So my spirit comes into alignment with, my body will then come into alignment with my spirit. And that can happen in this day, not just when I die, because Jesus says, pray for it to be on earth as in heaven. And that's why we're claiming healing now and not claiming healing when we die. Does that make sense? And it's the same with with the bliss of his presence, with enjoying his presence. So when I come into the presence, it's going to be pure freedom. It's going to be amazing. And so what I do, I posture myself to receive that by faith. So if I'm praying and I recognize the Lord's presence coming on, I would choose, I would literally make a choice myself to laugh. I'll just go, ha, 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 like that. And I'll just choose to be happy. I'll choose to put a smile on my face. And I'll go, I just thank you right now that my spirit is in a place which is super happy, which is just super, I can't, it's just unexplainable joy and freedom. And as I do that, I'll just choose to get happy. And I'll choose to laugh. And I'll choose just to like raise my eyebrows and go, oh, this is good. And as you do that, as you make a choice, because faith is putting your trust in the things unseen, it's not logical. It's putting your trust in things that you can't explain because they're unseen. As you do that, it then affects you. And that's how it works. Is that helpful with it kind of explaining how it all works? Because it is this mysterious, weird thing. It's like, oh, some people do it and some people don't. And some people think it's a personality thing, and I genuinely don't know. I don't know. I don't know if it's available for everyone or if it's available just for a few people, people who are like, you know, dispositioned in a certain way in their brain to receive more. But I'll tell you one thing. With manifestations and stuff, I'm hungry to experience all that God pours out. So if someone is having an experience with God, if someone is like having like kind of is walking and stuff that I'm not walking in, I'll go and get them to pray for me and say, hey, I want a bit of what you've got. Because there's a principle which is really, really basic, even in the natural. If you want to be set on fire, what do? I'd go and sit in a fire. Go and sit on a fire. It's the same in the spiritual. If you want to be on fire, go and sit in a fire. Shikabombamba. Whoa! Okay. I'm just going to give you quickly what I believe to be the purpose of drunkenness in the Holy Spirit is. Okay? Because some people are like, what's the purpose of this? You know, people rolling around the floor and going, whoa, Jesus, you know, all this stuff. But here is, I'm just going to give you quickly what I think the purpose of it. Purpose number one is that I believe God wants to remove in our generation 2,000 years of disgusting man-made religion. He wants to remove that institution which thinks that it can just box God in and have this kind of do Christianity. If I do this and I do this and I do this, then somehow I'll get to a higher, you know, plane or something like that. It's like, no, it doesn't work like that. He did it all. We receive it. It's a free gift. Be free, my people. So he wants to remove 2,000 years of religion. Drunkenness is a sign and a wonder. When I was in, a few years ago, I was doing this thing out on the streets whereby we were raising awareness for like poverty and stuff like that as a youth group. And I dressed up as Scooby-Doo. And loads of people would just literally come up to me and they'd look at me and go, why are you Scooby-Doo? And I'd actually go, there's no reason I'm Scooby-Doo really, but hey, have you seen this? And like I'd point them to our table. The whole point of a sign is to point to somewhere where it's going, right? So if I'm going to London, I know I'm on the right way if I see signs that say London. The purpose of drunkenness, it's one of the purposes of it, it's a sign and a wonder. Because people walk in and they're like, what the heck is going on? And it points to something. It points to the cause of this. It points to God. That's what happens, you know, at the moment in base, we're seeing like kind of just weird outpourings of the Holy Spirit. We've seen like just gold dust just falling on people's hands. And you guys are all kind of pro this stuff anyway. You know, I saw a diamond pop out the other day from nowhere. Feathers in my house all the time. And just random stuff. But they're just like little signs. And it's like, okay, God's on the move. It's a sign. It's pointing to heaven. It's to give boldness. When you're drunk in the natural, you are bold in the natural. That's why people are fight and stuff when they're drunk, you know, like on Friday nights, because they're just stupidly bold. They're like, I'm just going to do whatever pops into my head, boosh, like that. But you're bold. It's fun and pleasurable. I've already said that. God is a God who wants us to have fun and be joyful and have pleasure. There's a leveling in the drunkenness. Turn to Jeremiah 23. I love this verse. It's just like a one-off verse, you know, so don't base your theology on a one-off verse. Listen to this. Jeremiah 23, verse 9. I have become like a drunken man, even like a man overcome with wine, because of the Lord and because of his holy words. that's old Jeremiah right there. Mr. Hellfire and Brimstone himself. That's so cool. Jeremiah, one of the things he prophesied was a leveling, so that the mountains would be taken down and the valleys would be lifted up. There's a leveling in the spirit. And that happens in the drunkenness. Those who are in high places of authority and when they shouldn't be there, like kind of places of pompous, and I've puffed myself up, and those who have been trodden down by the church and said, you know, you're not good enough, you know, that kind of thing, that is completely leveled in the drunkenness. Those who are not ordained by God are lifted up, and those who shouldn't be there are taken down. That happens when there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit and through drunkenness. You lose your dignity, which is good, I think. It's definitely good. It gets us out of our natural minds, because God wants to do something through our lives and in this day and age which completely blows our natural minds. He wants to do something that we can't comprehend, and the drunkenness gets us out of our natural minds and gets us ready to just take what he wants to do and just go with it, you know? A small example of this would be when I was in Marlow a few weeks ago, not a few weeks ago, probably about a year ago, I was like preaching, and I got to the end and I was really, really drunk, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I can't even walk. And this lady came up to me and she was like, will you just pray for me? She was kind of not old, but I just want to say mature in years. And I've been just really, really down at the moment, and I was just so drunk. And I just went, okay, yeah, cool. I just put my hand on her head and I went, have a ding-dong merrily on high Christmas. Like that. It was like, it makes no sense to say that. And she just roared with laughter. She went, She fell back in her chair and spent like the next 5 minutes laughing. She just went, thank you so much. That's just what I need to hear. And I was like, really? Like, okay, cool. She was like, and then she was like, yeah, God was basically saying to me how I've just been taking life really too seriously. And he just wants to have, make me have just a real joy-filled Christmas and all this kind of stuff. And I was like, great. You know, have a good one. But I just really feel like, you know, when God uses it, you know. And lastly, he wants to restore childlikeness to his people. You know, it says you need to become like little children to inherit the kingdom. And it's kind of like just, it doesn't mean be like children. It just means just take things on face value, you know. Just be like, you're my dad. You love me, you know. Just be happy. It's be like a kid. Does that make sense? And that's what happens, because so often we can get into this place where we just get down and we overcomplicate things and we're like, God, la 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 la. And he's just like, hey, chill out, my boy. Have a drink. I remember I was on my bed once a few months ago and I was so down in the dumps. I was just like, God, you know, where are you? What are you doing? This, I'm just so confused at the moment. He just went, you know what? Just have a drink. In the natural, when people can't cope, some people turn to alcohol. It's like, I'm just going to have a drink. He went, just have a drink, my boy. You know, you can drink me. Because in scripture, not only is it like we've heard, well, like we've read, it's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It happens in drunkenness, as in Acts. But it's like drinking by faith, because he's new wine. He's the new wine. He's the vine. He calls himself a vine. What the grapes make? They make wine. He calls himself the river. He calls himself oil. You know, these are liquid forms. And he said, and so you just drink. It's not like a literal drinking. It's just receiving in your heart. It's receiving in your spirit. And so he goes, just drink. And I just sat on my bed and I literally, by faith, I went, oh, nom, 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 like that. And suddenly this whole thing lifted. I just, my priorities just came back in order. And it was like, I'd been blowing this thing way out of proportion. And now it's like, oh, okay, cool. I'm light again. The reality is the government's on your shoulders. You say, you know, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'm not supposed to carry too much. Drunkenness, when you get drunk in the Holy Spirit, it's like it puts your priorities back in order. It brings back that childlikeness. Is that helpful? Okay. Done. Guys, we'd like, I'm basically like coming right into land now. It's so simple. I know I've kind of unpacked it, but the reality is the gospel, a relationship with the Holy Spirit is so simple. It's literally like, it's a relationship. It's a relationship. God loves us. He wants to be in relationship with us. We just enter into relationship with him. And what happens is, when you enter in relationship with the Holy Spirit, you do it like you would with a normal friend. You say, hey, will you come and be my friend? Go up to your room tonight or this afternoon or now. You'd be like, hey, come and be my friend. Come and just fill me up. Just come and just help me with my life. Produce in me what you say you will in the Bible, which is gifts and fruits. And sevenfold anointing. Some of you won't know that. It's that in Isaiah. It's basically fear of the Lord resting upon you, spirit of wisdom, counsel, power, might. It's those kind of things. And you just do it. It's just be friends with the Holy Spirit. And we must stay hungry for more. And he must rule our personal affairs. That's it. That's all I've got to say. Shakaraba, sadaraba. Amen.
Amen.